Oh my God. Oh my God, they did it. They did it. They have reinstated net neutrality rules. Did they? In a rather surprising turn of events, this week, the Senate made headlines and created a bill to reinstate net neutrality. But is it the victory that everyone seems to think it is? We're going to find out. I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is SourceCast episode 120. So how was this repeal even possible? Well, the Senate used the Congressional Review Act, or the CRA, which allows Congress to reverse recent decisions by government agencies. Per The Verge's Jason Kastrzynski's, you may not be aware that the CRA exists because the Republican control of Congress means that such a measure wouldn't normally even make it to a vote. But the CRA allows senators to force a vote by obtaining 30 signatures. And in this case, all 49 Democratic senators voted in favor of this measure, as well as Republican senators Susan Collins of Maine, John Kennedy of Louisiana, and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. So this measure, which was adopted by 52-47, it's still got a long way to go, so I wouldn't be taking out your streamers and your celebratory party hats just yet. According to John D. McKinnon of the Wall Street Journal, and I quote, "The White House also says it supports the current rules adopted by the GOP-run Federal Communications Commission late last year, and many Republicans believe that Donald Trump would veto the reinstatement measure if it ever reached his desk." The current FCC chairman, Ajit Pai, said he was disappointed by the vote, but also said that the internet will continue to be free and open after his rules take effect on June 11th. As a reminder, net neutrality rules were struck down by the FCC, and they announced that June 11th would be the implementation date to remove net neutrality regulations from internet and phone providers. There's an Ars Technica article by John Brodkin that says that Ajit Pai and the ISPs are very sad about the Senate's vote. And I quote, "Pai defended his net neutrality repeal, saying that having no net neutrality rules at all will help promote digital opportunity and make high-speed internet access available to every single American. Pai said that he is confident that Democrats' efforts to reinstate heavy-handed government regulation on the internet will fail in the House. The FCC chairman had previously claimed that net neutrality repeal was already spurring new broadband investments. Per the Ars Technica article, most of his evidence of new deployments were already planned during the Obama administration or funded directly by the FCC before Pai was the chairman. The cable lobby group NCTA was also not pleased. While the NCTA has attempted historically to try to convince the public that they were actually supporting net neutrality rules, both U.S. Telecom and NCTA were part of a failed lawsuit to kill net neutrality prior to the Trump administration and Ajit Pai becoming the FCC chairman. While it's great that Democratic leaders pushed the net neutrality bill through the Senate, now it has to survive Congress, and Congress has a 236-193 seat majority in the House, and there's a good chance they're going to be able to kill this effort. The Democrats are going to need a majority of the representatives in the House to sign a discharge petition in order to force a House vote. Representative Mike Doyle, whose home state is Pennsylvania, is filing this petition, and the Democrats are pushing the agenda that the Republicans that support eliminating net neutrality are going to face problems getting reelected in their home states. And there is some merit to that logic. According to TheHill.com, 83% of voters support keeping the FCC's net neutrality rules. And that study is based on a poll from the University of Maryland's Program for Public Consultation. In that overall 83%, 75% of Republicans and 89% of Democrats were included in the favorability mix. According to Stephen Cole, the director of the university program, and I quote, "A decision to repeal net neutrality would be tacking against strong headwinds of public opinion blowing in the opposite direction." And there is one last minor piece to this story that I wanted to share. This is not super critical, but I do find that it's interesting timing. One of net neutrality's biggest enemies recently retired, and it was due to the Trump lawyer, Michael Cohen. AT&T had been employing a gentleman named Bob Quinn, and Bob Quinn is net neutrality famous. According to The Verge's T.C. Sotek, Quinn is one of the telecommunication industry's most vocal and aggressive lobbyists. He spent a lot of time railing against things like net neutrality and internet privacy rules. On a side note, Quinn had defended blocking of FaceTime over mobile internet. But moving on, while his title was Senior Executive Vice President of External and Legislative Affairs, he often acted as AT&T's chief blogger, posting lengthy screeds about why internet advocates were hyperventilating and distorting the facts. Which is a good call out by Verge, because that is the general response by the Republicans when people complain about eliminating net neutrality protection. Now, just because of this Michael Cohen scandal, it doesn't mean that AT&T is going to back off of their position on net neutrality. But again, a major opponent of these rules and regulations has been taken off the board, and it's something to take note of. What does all of this mean? At the moment, not much. It's good to see that the Democrats are able to amass some kind of defense against regulations that their voters do not agree with. And the Democrats are also striking the right chords with Republicans that they're going to need to partner with in order to take this measure further. But if the final destination is Donald Trump's desk, I highly doubt that net neutrality rules will be reinstated during this presidential administration. Sorry to ruin the parade. I hope that I'm wrong.
And that's all we have for this week. You can find Sourcecast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. Sourcecast is recorded in bucolic Mandarin, New Jersey, and it's produced by my dad. The outro is performed by me, Ben Lombardi, and music is provided by Patrick Lee. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.